Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord some praise in the house of God? I know we're doing service a little differently, and so for that, I apologize. If you did not get a bulletin, would you raise your hand? We're going to have some of our men hand out something to you. So if you didn't, So here you go. If you did not get a bulletin, can you raise your hand if you did not get a bulletin, like really high? They're going to give you some of those, maybe split those up. If you didn't get a bulletin, you're going to need one today. And so today we've been focused on going all in and believing the Lord. And so if you didn't get a bulletin, make sure look at they got hands on this side too. So if anybody doesn't have a hand up, you're going to miss out. So I'm trying, we did doing service different because I said, Ted, I need so much time to teach this. And so he said, sure, take all the time you want, right? Because the Saints are out of the playoffs. And everybody said, oh, I know our hearts are broken. And for those that cheer for Green Bay, we allow you to stay. And for the Vikings did lose yesterday. They lost yesterday. It makes you feel a little better. And the Ravens too. There are things, you have giftings, right? You have things that you're good at. What is something you're good at? Shout it out on the count of three. One, two, three. Taking care of kids. I heard that one up front. So if you need somebody to take care of kids, we got that covered. I do feel like I'm not gifted in everything. By any means, but this is one of the things that I feel like the Lord has put on in my life, being raised by the parents that I was raised by, to do this well. And so sort of my backstory is that we were, from the time I was in second grade, raised in the church, my father, we were going to talk about money today. So if you have a problem with Hope Community talking about money, you don't come to church enough, because we never talk about money ever. And so I just want to get that out the way. And also, if you have money, if you have $100, it's all the Lord's, right? He's just allowing you to steward the money that God has given you. And so we're going to talk about that today and why and what that looks like. My father grew up. And he didn't serve Jesus whenever he was in his late teens, early 20s, but he always gave a tithe. He would always give a tithe to the church, and my mom grew up Catholic, and so she didn't quite understand that. She said, we were talking to her last night because we're living in her house, and so that's just a blessing that we come from my mom and dad's house. Thank you. And when you're 42 and you're living back with your mom and dad, it's a blessing. And so for three nights, we're moving. And so anyway, it's been an adventure because she has some kids and I have some kids. It's been a crazy house, and I can't believe I look this good. And so anyway, she said, you know, Tara, she said, when I grew up and I gave my life to the Lord, she said, one of the things that God easily and first of all convicted me about was my money. And though she was raised Catholic, they didn't really ever talk about money or anything like that, or tithing, or what does that even look like to tithe? But your dad, who was raised as a believer, as a Christian, even when he was in the world and he would spend like all his money drinking and smoking and chewing and whatever else he did and going out, he would always give 10% of his money and he would ask the Lord to bless it. My mom thought that was weird because he's doing craziness, but he's asking the Lord to bless all of his money. And my parents, and Ted can testify to this, my parents are the most generous people that I know. That, like, beyond measure, I never knew a time since second grade where we did not tithe our money to the church. For example, we would have an allowance, and our allowance was insignificant, maybe, you know, $5. We would give 50 cents to the Lord. In fact, we would have an envelope, and we would put our money, if the 50 cents would go to the Lord, and then we would save 50% of our money. So moms and dads, you know, so we would save half of our money, and usually it was more because I lived, you know, with my mom, and so she was like, you save 70% or 80%. What do you need? Nothing. And so we would save, and then we would have some spending money. And today we're going to talk about going all in with stewarding and in our giving. And so it's a double message, and so I pray that I can keep you attentive and that we can sort of work through this together. What a series we've been in. We've returned to our first love. Pastor Ted talked about taking care of the details in our money. But I want to give you some quotes. 16 of the 38 parables in the Bible. You know what a parable is? It's a story that Jesus tells. 16 of them were concerned with how to handle your money. 16 out of the 38. So Jesus talks about money. 1 out of 10 verses in the New Testament deals directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayers, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses in the Bible are talking about finances and money and possessions. So that's a big deal, right? Our possessions is what we hold on to. It's the thing that we say, it's undeniable. God has allowed us to manage what is basically his money. So if I get $100, how much is the Lord's? Somebody said 25. Somebody said 10. Okay? I would say all of it is the Lord's. And so, and I'm not saying that I'm giving all of it back to the church. I'm just saying God has allowed us to steward his money and to take care of what is already his. I work at our thrift store in the back, and it's incredible. We have a lot of people that come in and give us things of people that have passed away. And those people that have passed away had hold on to their stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Their collectibles, their treasures. But when you're gone, that treasure or that junk or whatever it is that you have goes on to the next people behind you, and they don't value it. And so they come and dump it off at the thrift store, and we get all kinds of things. And it just reminds me that nothing that I have is mine. Nothing. When I leave, I don't take my house with me or my car with me. I don't take my clothes or whatever it is. It's all been his, and he has allowed us for a short period of time to steward the money. Now, you know that you live in one of the most wealthiest countries in the world. One of the most wealthiest. If you don't think you might have walked through the door this morning and said, I'm poor. You are not poor. There are 10% of our world lives on less than $1.80 a day. $1.80, 10%. There are people, there are like 50 plus million kids that will never go to school because they're not rich enough, because their countries don't allow them to go to school unless they have money to pay for the school. I know this because I adopted 4 from one of those countries. The Asian countries and the islands are some of the most poor, as well as the sub-Saharan African areas of our world. That, my friends, is people that never get a chance to do anything else with their lives. So you are rich. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm rich. Now, you don't believe it, so turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, I'm rich. I am rich. And so you might not believe that, but let's just keep on working through this. Stewarding well and giving well is a mark of a mature Christian. So whenever you become a believer, there's no way that you say, I'm giving my 10% to the Lord, unless you already know the Lord, which my dad did, but he walked away. So stewarding well and giving well is the mark of a mature Christian. Keeping is the mark of an immature Christian. And so whenever you keep something for yourself, or you say, I don't want to be generous with that, or I'm saving for this or that, and you don't give anything to the Lord, that shows your immaturity in the Lord. And so here are 2 of the biggest arguments of people and why they don't give. And one of the ones that we hear all the time and we've seen growing up. Now, remind you, Ted and I have only been pastors for a little bit of time. Ted worked a real job. I say real, this is real. But we have not been pastors of Hope Community Church. I worked as a teacher. I worked in a nonprofit world. And that still is where my salary comes from. So I don't want to think, this is coming from a heart. This is coming from the heart of God, is that some people will say, I can't. I'm not financially able. And I would say to those people that say that, if you don't give in the little, you'll never give in the much. We have seen people that have not given in the little, but they say, but when I win the lottery, then I'm going to give to the church. Or whenever, we used to have this lady, and she came up to the front of our old church, and she prayed with me, and she said, Tara, my people passed away. I have a great inheritance. I am going to give you, and it was like a crazy mouth-dropping article of money. And she said, I'm going to give that to you to start the old building at the old place that you were in. And you know what? She never gave it. Why? Because she never gave in the little. So when she got the much, it never came through to do what she had spoken out of her mouth. So a lot of people will say, well, I'm not financially able. So this is the first part of our sermon today, is to help you to be financially able. I know we can pray for a miracle and a breakthrough in our finances, but if we're honest, it's something that I can't lay my hands on you and all of a sudden, boom, you have no bills tomorrow, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? You come to the church, somebody prays for you, no bills tomorrow. It doesn't happen. I'm sorry. And so what does happen as we tithe and give and are generous is that we are stewarding all the money that God has given us. And so that is taking a look at our lives. Stewardship, by definition, it's on the screen. Stewardship is the job of supervising or taking care of something. Everybody say taking care of something. So you could be a steward of your kids, or you could be a steward of your car, or you could be a steward at your job. But the job of stewardship in our finances is that we are taking care of what God has given us. And so I'm going to pick on myself for a moment, because I don't know what your weakness is, but my weakness is going out to eat. I love to go out to eat with my family. It is since we've been married. Now, before I was married, this was not a problem, because I was very stingy and frugal. I never spent money. I just collected all my money and gave to the Lord and collected money and gave to the Lord and lived with my mom and dad. It's perfect, young people. It's perfect. And so live with your mom and dad. Let them pay the bills, right? And so anyway, when we got married, we just kind of got in this habit of going out to eat. How many people like to go out to eat? Okay. So it's, and if you're a mom of four kids, it is wonderful that you go out, you eat, and you don't have to do dishes, and everybody's sitting at the table. You get to have good conversation. However, I have four kids and a husband who loves like the most amazing, most expensive thing on the menu. And so I'm trying to be frugal and like get water, you know, squeeze the lemonade, put your own sugar in it. You know what you do. And so we've since we've had kids, it's been such a struggle, because we'll go out to eat and it's like if the bare minimum, like we're splitting kids' meals here. You know, like you get a kid's meal. My kids are little, so like, okay, y'all two get a kid's meal, you two get, and me, dad, water, and you know, no sweet tea, that costs money. And so here I am, just at the best of any of our lives, it's $50 to get out of a restaurant. $50. I mean, that's like us still being frugal and taking care of our money. And so if you would say, well, that's not a big deal, right? $50 is not a big deal for you. You're super rich. And so $50, though, times 7 is $350 a week. So if we did this for 1 week, that's $350. How many people, that would be a bigger deal for you? Okay, so some of y'all are all rich, so you don't care. $350 a week by the end of the month. I did this. I multiplied it. It is $1,470 that you will have spent going out to eat, that you can never get back. Now that's a big deal. That's a beautiful house note, okay? That's a three car notes if you're thrifty. So whenever you're looking, and then if you add $14,700 times a year, that's like $16,000 that you have spent in 1 year going out to eat. Which you could easily just go to your mom's house and get free white beans and red beans and or whatever it is, carne asada, whatever. And so you go to those places, and so you look at your life. $14,000 would be down the drain for me and my family if we go out to eat. So guess which family does not go out to eat? Ours. And we go, we have a budget. Everybody say budget. We're going to talk about the B word today, budget. And so we, because this is so essential to you and to your life. Now, do we go out to eat? Yes, we do. We have a budget. Everybody say budget. Good. Would you take it out? It's right here in your bulletin. And so it's a budget, and we're going to talk about budgeting our money. If your 2020 is going to be different financially in your life, you're going to have to start one of these, okay? You're going to have to start a budget. Now, there are online budgets. There are app budgets if you're trendy. This is a paper budget. I am old school. So when my husband and I got married, he talked about this last year. I'm talking about it this year. From my perspective, I had saved and drank water and never went out to eat and never did anything until I got married. And then I have a lump sum of money and like, bam, here I am. And he was very thankful. And he, on the other hand, had an incredible job, made lots of money. However, it was all like in the air, and he had nothing to show for it. And so when we got engaged, we put our money together. Couples, I would encourage you to put your money together. If you're married, to put your money. It's not his money and my money, it's our money. And we are budgeting and tithing and giving to the Lord through we're together, we're a couple. Now, young people, don't couple up with somebody before you marry. Don't give them money. Don't do that. That would be crazy, okay? And so when we got engaged, we started dating in January, and then we got engaged in March. We're fast movers. I was 32. And so here we are, and we look at our budget, and I'm like dying. I'm dying. My heart is beating. I'm getting ready to kill him. I'm breaking off the engagement. Like, we're not getting married. I can't believe you did this. And so when Ted asked for my father to have my hand in marriage, he said, I don't have a problem with that, but you have to, one of the things you have to do is budget your money and go through Dave Ramsey's budgeting course. And so Ted is one of the most amazing people I know, in the fact that if he decides to do it, he's going to do it like for the rest of his life. And so March was the end of our bad money, and by April he had it all budgeted out, and since then we've been able to do some pretty incredible things because we have budgeted. So we took this out. Did you take it out yet? Okay, you got it in your hand. So it's pretty simple, right? When you look at it, to steward well, to steward and supervise what God has given you. So when you live in debt, that is not stewarding well. Now, big ticket items like a house and a car, you know, sometimes you have to go in debt. But like you going in debt to pay your taxes or to pay a furniture note or those kind of things, I would say save your money. And then whenever you have the money saved, go ahead and buy that ticket item. So going in debt is a problem that will haunt you, especially young people, for the rest of your life. Do you know that now to apply for college, they also make you apply for a credit card? Why? Because they want your money. A credit card, a debtor simply wants your money. So when young people go in debt, they can't follow the plans that God has for them because they're busy paying back bills to the government. I know this because I had a friend and she was a missionary, and she said, I feel called of the Lord to serve, but she had went to a prestigious, very expensive school, and it cost her $100,000 for 4 years at school. That's a lot of money. So instead of doing what God said, she had to go back and pay off her bills. I don't know if she ever went to the mission field because she was paying back debt. Some of us are under the burden of debt. We were under the burden of debt. We had some things that we had to pay off. And so what we did was we went on a strict thing. Our date nights, we no longer went out to eat. We would cook a meal, right? If we wanted to go to the movies, there were no more movies because we had to pay off our debt. And so we didn't buy another thing. Well, there were things that looked good, smelled good. You know, we need a new truck, whatever it is that you think you need. But if you are in so much in debt, you can't move into what God has for you. You can't. If this church is so much in debt, we can't believe God for the next thing because we're paying for what we've already done. Does that make sense? And so be careful before you sign for the next credit card or get taxes faster, right? You wait for your tax money to come in. Don't go to somebody that's going to charge you $500 to get your taxes back a little bit faster. In 2 weeks, you're going to get that money anyhow. So just calm down, wait for it, you know, go on a strict budget and diet. So this plan right here is pretty incredible. So are you looking at it? Yes? Okay. And so we're looking at it, and they have things like debts on the back, on if you have a double-sided. But you put your debts down. You say, I have a car payment two. I have a credit card. Whatever it is, you just begin to post those things down and look at your life and say, these are the things that I have got to get rid of. We quit vacationing. We quit everything until we could be able to afford it because debt is tricky. When you get in debt, what happens is that credit card will say 0% interest for 1 year. Guess what? After that year, it's 26% interest, or 27, or 30% interest. So they're coming for you to get money that never had to be theirs in the first place. So you pay down your debt. Here's the thing. Now, this is called Dave Ramsey's plan. You can pick another plan, but I'm just saying that the Bible says, oh, debt, no debt to no one. And so be careful before you pull yourself into debt. The thing is you will pay off a debt. So maybe your goal is to go all in. I'm going to pay off my furniture note. I'm just picking furniture note. So you put your money into that, and you go hard. Like every time you have an extra dollar, you got an extra $5, you put your money on that, and then you pay off that bill. Everybody say, pay off a bill. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? Like, yeah, I just accomplished something. So you pay off that bill, and then it begins to snowball, and you pay off another bill. And before we were married, we had no debt. We got married in August. We started in April and we killed it. And by August, we had no debt except on his truck. I think we still owed someone a little bit on his truck, which was upside down, which simply means we owed more on the truck than what the truck was worth. And so we had to get rid of that too. We had to make sure that that wasn't a big deal. So we began paying down the debt. And you look at it, and then you do all your other things. So how many people like to vacation? I love to vacation. The only way that we can do that is if we put it in our budget. Because it is tempting to go and do something else, but no, that's our vacation money. And you do our childcare, your toiletries, your homeowner, whatever it is, your insurance on the front page, if you're going back to the front page, your medical, your transportation, your housing, your utilities, whatever your electricity bill is. And sometimes that varies, right? And so check it. And maybe you have subscriptions to Amazon or Netflix or whatever it is. Maybe you need to cancel some. We just canceled our subscription to Netflix. First of all, they're not godly, and they're promoting ungodly things. So I said, you know what? We're canceling. Well, that's only, what, $9.99 a month. But then you add that up with $120 a year, so I can go somewhere or do something that was better than Netflix anyway. And so you begin to look at it, and you do this every month. Are you going to succeed in the first month? No. It's okay. You're gonna mess up. You're gonna do something, and you're like, man, for us, I remember we started getting serious about our money and stewarding it, and then all of our vehicles needed tires. They needed a tire, and I'm like, oh man, we need a tire. Like, not just my vehicle, all his vehicle. Normally, what would you do? Go get a line of credit, pay for your tires. But then they're charging you for that line of credit. So instead, what we did was we had a savings, and Dave Ramsey suggests, that you would have a $1,000 rainy day savings account that you do not touch for anything except if you need tires and you can't go to work, so you don't have that money, so you go there. And as soon as you take it, you start replacing that $1,000. And then you get your debt down. And then as soon as you get your debt down, now this might take a year. For us, it took over a year for us to get our debt out of the way, where we don't owe on our vehicles and we don't owe on the things that were tearing us down. And then we said, let's save 3 to 6 months. If something happens and Ted loses his job, we're going to save for 3 to 6 months. Well, guess what? Something happened and Ted lost his job. He did. It was whenever the oil field went crazy. Ted walks in unexpected. We have no money and no income coming into our house, and except for what I'm making. And he didn't have to freak out. He didn't have to say, wow, what's happening? He just said, you know what? We're going to pray and ask God, what's the next step in our lives? Why? Because we had saved for 3 to 6 months. You can do this. You can set some goals. Grab a person that will help you. You can begin to budget and steward your money. That is what God has given you. He has allowed you to live in one of the most richest countries in the world. Do not think that you will not stand before God and give an answer for that. If I'm looking at scripture, every time those parables talk about Jesus, he says he gave to one 10, he gave to one 5, and he gave to one, and then the one with 5 made 5 more, and the one with 2, made 2 more, and the one with 1 went and buried it in the ground and wasted it. See, we owe an account. You're going to owe an account. I'm going to owe an account for me and for this church and for the family. I'm going to stand before God and say, God, this is what I did with my talents, yes, but this is what I did with my finances. And whenever you can live debt-free and you can live to move where God has you, I'm telling you, it's a better way. So we're going to look at stewarding well. Everybody say, steward well. So when you steward well, you're able to give well. So that's the second part and why I needed just a little bit of time. When you steward well, you're able to give well. Look at the first thing that this guy writes. He's a Christian, he's a believer, and he writes charity. And he puts tithes, and then he puts charity and offerings, because biblically, the first belongs to the Lord. So whenever I get $100, at least, and we'll look at that, $10 belong to God. No questions asked. I don't care if I want a new car, if I want to go out to eat, if I want to get new clothes for my family. We're going to go thrift store shopping, and I'm going to give my 10% to the Lord. Why? Because when you give the 10%, he blesses the rest. He takes care of. Your car lasts longer. Those things that were a problem begin, you don't have as many bills. You're not going to the doctor as often. And so you start looking at God, and he begins to bless. When we steward well the first things, then we also have to give well. Everybody say, give well. Now we're going to look at this. If you don't give in the little, you're not going to give in the much. You're just not. If you don't go all in, you're not going to go in at all. In fact, today, most Christians don't tithe or give at all. And I'm not saying this from Hope Community Standard, though this is pretty typical of a church, and ours is pretty much right on par. Most Christians do not tithe or give. It's not a judgment. It's an observation. A national poll said, according to the state of the plate, only 10 to 25% of church members tithe. Only 10 to 25% give anything to the Lord. Only 5% of the United States population tithes. One of the richest countries in the world, only 5% of us actually decide to tithe and give our money. That's unbelievable. Listen to this. On average, Christians give 2.5% of their income. When there was the Great Depression, Christians gave 3.3%, and they were lining up to have food given to them, and yet Christians gave more in the Great Depression than they are at one of the richest times of our nation, in our nation, that people are just not getting. So it gives me to my second question. First of all, maybe your finances are not well, but a lot of things that we hear, it leads me to this. A lot of people say, well, I'm not tithing, or maybe they might just give a couple dollars. I believe that tithing is Old Testament, and I'm free from the burden of the law, so I don't give, and besides, I pay taxes. Now, I want to let you know, your American government is not giving your taxes to anything Christian. I just want to let you know that. In fact, they would be the opposite of until very recently. In fact, a lot of your money and income was going to promote abortions and promote secularism and to make sure there is a divide between the church and state. A lot of the income that's taken does not go to anything godly that's in the United States of America. And so it is our responsibility as believers and as Christians to look. And what is a tithe, it is 10%. It's 10%. And we look at that. Even Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to the Lord what is the Lord's. And so tithing in the Old Testament. Now we're going to look at some scripture to back up what I'm saying. And again, it's 2,000 times that the Lord talks about our money throughout the Bible. What does the Old Testament say about tithing? Well, the first person who tithed, if you're reading through Genesis in your book plan, was actually Abraham. Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils to the order of Melchizedek. And so he gave 10% unto the house of the Lord. And then Hebrews appeals again to that and says to give to the Melchizedek. God meets Jacob at Bethel and he promises covenant blessings, and Jacob gives the patriarchs or the church 10%. A tenth of Israel's seed, fruit, and flocks were given unto the Lord in Leviticus. The people gave a tenth of the Levites to support them. And then the Levites, in turn, were to give a tenth to the chief priest. Now look at Malachi. I have it on the screen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12. Malachi verse 3, verse 10 through 12. It says, bring the whole what? Tithe into the storehouse. And so Malachi is a prophet and he's preaching to bring the tithe or the 10% into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. Now this is one of the only times that God says test me in this. So it says test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So I think some of America's prosperity, this is just my opinion, some of America's prosperity is because people have given to the house of the Lord, and those houses of the Lord are giving outward, and you see an abundance, and you see even in Malachi, he's saying, hey, bring it in, and then give it out, and I'm going to bless you and protect you. I think why we're blessed by the hand of God is because we still have people in this nation that are giving to people all over this planet, and they're helping people and they're taking care of people. And maybe that's not true in some of the other wealthier nations, but I know America, a lot of people are doing something. And so you see the in the Old Testament, they would bring the tithe. Some people think, even though this says 10%, because of all the other things they would bring, they would actually bring 20 to 30% of their income back into the storehouse of God. But if you say, well, Tara, that's Old Testament, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19. Here's Jesus talking. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He says, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? Your heart will be also. So Jesus is speaking to our heart, because it's hard to give up the money that you think, wow, I could do this or do that or take my family out to eat. But he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, give and you will what? Receive. Everybody say receive. Now, you love receiving. I love receiving. I love when somebody writes a big check here. I love when somebody writes it. One time, it wasn't to the church, it was to us. We were getting our kids, and so we felt the Lord call us to give generously in a place in El Salvador. So we gave in generously of our own income. We didn't have much money. We were waiting to adopt our four kids. No lie, 2 days before we fly out to go to the Philippines, a lady walks in this church and she said, Tara, God has put you on my heart. I was like, cool. And usually that means they want to pray for me or something like that. She said, I want to write you a check. I said, awesome. So she wrote a check with so many zeros. She said, I'm going to pay for your airplane tickets. I'm going to pay for your hotel rooms, everything, so that we didn't have any debt when we went to go get our kids. Isn't that awesome? Like, you could receive. I was like, thank you. If you want to come every year, just keep on that. I'm joking. I'm not joking. And so she, you know, I think it's because we were generous and gave to the Lord when we heard him speak, and it was not as significant as that check that she wrote us. I'll never forget. God is able, and we love to receive. It says, give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured. Everybody say, pour it into my lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. I just think that's a biblical principle in everything. If you give just a little to God, you're going to get just a little bit back. But if you give your all to God, God is coming to press down, pour together, pour it up into your lap. Goodness and mercy and all those things. And I just think it's a principle, and Jesus says it. But look, Paul writes it too. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8, he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also what? Reap bountifully. So let each of one you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. And that's so important to look at your life. Am I giving cheerfully? Am I not giving out of a grudge? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you will always have sufficiency in all things, making all abundance for every good work. And so when you give generously, God will provide for every need. I know this because God has done this in our lives, where God has been so good whenever we have given that he has just taken back and he's allowed us to do things we never thought we'd be able to do. I never thought, but I just look at my example of my parents, and I just, you know, it's unbelievable. My dad didn't go to college. My mom, she did later in life, but, you know, they had nothing. They had nothing. They were the kind of couple that got married when they were 17, had $40, you know, in their pocket, and God has just blessed them and multiplied them and their reach and their influence, and I think so much of it is because they, again, are the most generous people I know. He just said, we were talking, I'm living with my family, remember? And my dad was talking, he said, he got his inheritance. I didn't know, because we were talking about my sermon. He said, Tara, you know, he gave his inheritance, like from his mom and dad, and it was a significant amount of money. So I just felt like the Lord put in my heart to give to this thing. And I was, like, my jaw dropped, and I was just like, wow, I had no idea. They're just so blessed. They have so much more than they can ask or think, and I think God has just covered them. And and allowed them to be an example into our lives and hopefully into your lives as well. So even if your argument is, well, I don't give because God has done away with the tithe, he has not done away with being generous. God has not said, don't be generous. And I think, you know, you could say, well, I don't know why I give my money here and there. I understand that. And I think biblically you have an argument. Either way, some people biblically believe 10% and it goes to the church and the church gives it out, and we do, and we are accountable for that. Or you can say, I give 10%, I give some to the church, or I give some to this person or that. Personally, Ted and I tithe 10% of our income to the church. Every month we write a check, and then on top of that, we give an offering, and we help a little girl in Africa, so every month we give to her. And then my kids listen to K-Love, and so I just felt convicted. My kids were getting so much out of K-Love, I said, I'm just going to support them too. And so on top of that, we just give an offering as we're able, and then sometimes even more. But when you look at the Bible, your tithe should go, biblically, 10% at least should go to the poor. Some of it should go to the poor. And I'm not talking about people that are poor because of their poor decisions. Some people, you know, we get that. They have poor decisions, and so sometimes, if you look at somebody's life and they're asking you for money and it's because they made poor decisions, you've got to let them live in that poor decision. For example, the prodigal son, and remember he goes to the pig pen? The prodigal son doesn't go to the pig pen, I don't know if he comes back to the father, because the pig pen was so bad and so disgusting and he came to the end of himself. And if you're always rescuing people out of the end of themselves, maybe God made that pig pen for that person. So why? Biblically, they could come back to the Lord, because that's more important. So if you're always giving your money to some new problem that somebody has created for themselves, that's not giving to the poor. Poor is someone like in sub-Saharan Africa. They have no way to get any money at any time. There's no way out for people in India that are born into a caste system. That's a different kind of poverty. And so the Bible says we should give to the poor. There are a bunch of scriptures about this, but Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to whom? Lends to the Lord. So when you give to the poor, it says you're giving as unto the Lord, and he, God, will repay him for his deed. So personally, at this church, we want to talk about that. Now, we know there are people making $1.90 a day, and we have poor that come through our doors. In fact, we are in a location that happens probably more than at other churches. We are here intentionally. God has called us here to help with the poor and to be a blessing unto the poor. At Hope Community, when you give your tithe here at the church, some of your tithe goes to Cebu Shelter of Hope, which is our orphanage where our kids came from. It also goes to an orphanage in Uganda. And again, they are so poor that they have absolutely nothing. We give through El Salvador on our mission trips. And again, if you've ever been on a mission trip, all of that money that you go on a mission trip is not coming to us. It is going to them so that they can hand it out to the poor. Locally, we are feeding homeless every day. We have 2 to 3 homeless that come in this church, and we give them a bag of food. We also have our clothes in the back, and we give them at least 1 to 2 outfits depending on the need, and we help as we feel the Holy Spirit is leading us. We personally house in this building Hope Extreme for students who are not able to have a good education. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 50 kids come through these doors, and we take care of them because they don't have the resources and the necessities. So whether you give in your own way or you give through the church, I just want to let you know that the poor, as best as we can, and we take a look at our finances every year and say, God, how can we give to the poor? And then we also give to the needs of the saints. Romans 12 and verse 10. Now, the New Testament talks a lot about this, giving to the needs. Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. That we're to distribute among the people that have a need. So there's passages throughout the Bible. At Hope Community, we're committed to it. We support Charlie and Tina Solange spreading the gospel into Tequila, in Mexico. We have Josh and Jolie in India. We have another girl that we met in the Philippines, Amanda. She is has the needs of the saints in Asia. In fact, she is in a place where she can't even tell us where she's at because it's that hard. We have two missions that we support at ULL campus. We have Allison Morris, who we support at our ULL campus, giving to her so that she can spread Jesus at ULL, one of the most partiest schools in the whole world. And then we have Katie and Joseph Moore on LSU's campus, and they're spreading the gospel through Chi Alpha there. We have Place of Restoration's Men Drunk Rehab. We help men that are in a place through Jeremy and his organization. And then we also support equally Women's Restoration. It's a new rehab coming up that is supposed to be open hopefully this year, and it's a rehab helping women to get off of drugs. So we're helping to take care of the needs of the saints, and then also to give to shepherds in your life, to the house of the Lord, because these things that you see all about us cost money. Air conditions cost money. Gas costs money for vans. The vans cost money. Our insurance goes up. And so Paul says, and Jesus affirms, he says in 1 Timothy 5:18, the laborer is worthy of his wages. In Galatians 6:6, he says, bring additional support when it says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So if you're sitting under the regular teaching of Hope Community Church, and if you're a visitor, just say, yeah, she's crazy. You can say that. It's fine. Come back. It's going to be good. If you're sitting underneath the teaching of Hope Community Church, and you are allowing us to pour into your kids or to you as a family, it says to bring the tithe in to the storehouse, and maybe you give to other organizations as well, as God sees. But no matter what, look at your life. Are you stewarding well? I'm going back here. Are you stewarding and looking at this in your life? You know, Grace is teaching a class come next week, 9:30. Tell her that's your goal. I want to steward well in 2020. I want to steward well. Maybe this is a struggle for you. Come and talk to us. Not so I know all your business, but we can help you get a plan so that you can get out of debt. And come and sit underneath teaching and say, hey, I struggle with this. I struggle with this in my life. And so start stewarding. And if you want this, and we can make 12 copies for you, so every month you have a budget that sits in your hand. And then look at your life. Are you generous? Are you giving? Are you asking God, I have this. I want to give 10%. And then talk to the Lord and ask him, God, where do you want me to give? How and which way do you want me to give my tithe, and that you would honor me with the rest? Can you bow your head and please close your eyes? This is like one of the hardest messages to preach, because I like to preach very differently. I like teaching, but it's just hard because you're looking at it and you're saying, oh, you're digging into things that are hard. They're just hard. But again, as I lived with my parents for this weekend, my mom said, you know, Tara, she said, God changed my heart. As God changed me and I was becoming more and more like him, she said, I became more and more generous. She said, it was what I used to like never want to give, because I didn't understand why your dad was given. I just knew that he wanted me to do that, so I did it. He said, it didn't become a burden. It became like a pleasure, like it was good for her to give. And you know, I look at our lives, and so many people say, well, I'm not tithing, or I'm not giving, or I'm not stewarding. I'm just going to let it take care of itself. I'm going to say money doesn't take care of itself. It just flies out the door, if we're honest. And so today, as you look at your life, are you stewarding well? When you walk out those doors, get a plan, get a budget. Sit down. If you are married in the room, sit down with your spouse and say, you know, the number one reason why couples fight, it's not anything else but finances. The number one reason. So we took that out of the equation. Before Ted and I ever got married, we didn't fight about finances, because we had already hit that straight on while we were engaged. There is never a moment where I get mad at Ted. I'm like, man, you just want to go buy a boat, because he can't, because it's budgeted. And if he wants to buy a boat, he has to save up his money for a billion years, and then he can buy a boat. It's true. But we never fight. There's never a time where our kids see us arguing about finances because we make decisions together and we try to make God-honoring decisions. And sometimes we give all the time we give of our tithe, and sometimes those offerings are a little bit harder when God pulls on your strings and he says, hey, it's time to give it to where you hurt a little bit. I believe in giving where it hurts a little bit, where you can't go on the next thing or do the next thing because you have given in such a way that you've got to take a break. But I've never, ever regretted giving in that way. I've never regretted that through tithing and tithing here, that we literally built a church in El Salvador through Hope Community Church. A church on the east side has a church building. You probably maybe don't even know this, in the mountains of El Salvador. And people are meeting right now talking about the love of Jesus Christ. And they have a roof over their head. And they didn't even have cement on the ground. And that church was completely built by the people right here in Hope Community Church. I never regret that. There's never a moment where I'm like, man, I wish I wouldn't have given so much to God. And I think when you meet the end, whenever eternity is before you and you stand before God, there's never going to be a regret where, God, I just gave you too much. Instead, you're going to say, I didn't give enough. I didn't really go all in on this subject. And I think when we look at our lives, you have to say, am I giving biblically? Am I giving it with a generous heart? Am I giving to the needs of the poor? Am I helping the saints? Am I giving to the house of the Lord? Am I looking at my finances? And I promise you, my husband, he had quit tithing. This was before he was my husband, and he had quit tithing, and all of a sudden God put it back on his heart. He was making $10 an hour at his job somewhere, and nothing was happening. And he said, I can't afford to give because I can barely make my bills. And he said, I'm going to give to the Lord. And God just began blessing him and protecting him and taking care of all the things that needed to be taken care of. And he's no respecter of persons, God. And so he'll just take care of you. Look at the scripture, stand on the word of God and your finances and say, you know what? I'm going to steward well. But not only that, I'm going to give well. I'm going to be a generous people. I know that generosity that my parents have of like just flowed over into my brothers and sisters. They're some of the most generous people. They give here. They help do some things that we could never have done. And I'm just so thankful to have people in my life that have been generous and showed me a good example. Can we just pray and ask the Lord, if this is for you and you say, you know, I want to steward well. I want to give well. Can you just pray with me? We're just going to say a prayer to speak in our hearts to the Lord. Dear Father, help me to give well. Help me to understand that all of my money is actually yours. I give you control of my finances. I give you control of those things that you have given to me. And today, help me to be generous, to give cheerfully. God, help me to be wise with my finances and all of the money. God, help me to love you and go all in with the things that you have given me. Open my heart and help me to see you. In Jesus' name. Can I just pray a prayer? God, I pray, God, for this message, this church. God, as we have seen you and heard you, God, I know I've stepped on a bunch of toes, mine included. But God, I pray that we would be a generous people. God, that people would walk through this door and they would say, oh, that's the church that's generous. They gave me more than I should have ever gotten. God, that only our reach would be not just the East Houma, but God, really that our reach would be the world. God, the Bible says, ask for the nations as an inheritance and you'll give them to us. So God, we just pray as we're generous, God, that as we steward well, God, help those that are in debt, Lord God, to look at it. And God, this could be a year for them. That this could be a year where they get serious about attacking their debt. Lord, serious about giving those things to the Lord. And God, when we do, God, that you will just bless us. God, thank you for blessing us as a nation. God, that was nothing of us that we live in one of the most wealthiest nations in this world. God, that is a privilege. God, that is an honor. God, help us to look at that and say, let me steward that well. Let me give well, because that was just your doing. And so, God, we just give you our income, our finances, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Tell someone you love them. If you want these, they're for you. We'll see you next Wednesday. We'll see you this Wednesday for some good stuff. And of course, we'll see you next Sunday. And next Sunday is going to be awesome. We're going to share all the ministries of the church and how you can get involved. So a lot of people will be speaking next Wednesday, and all those things that we're doing, you're going to be a part of it. See you soon in Jesus' name.